happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Andy Hump.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Ann Northrup with a lot of construction noise behind me, which I hope you're not hearing.
Okay. Lots of news to get to this week. The Supreme Court, our Supreme Court, rejected Ron DeSantis' plea to let Florida's anti-drag law go into effect.
Wow. What's happening to the Supreme Court? Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson recently said that the uptick in young people identifying as LGBTQ was making America irredeemable. We will have the video on that.
George Santos looks to be headed back to unemployment before prison.
One can only hope. The first out gay male assembly member in the New York State Legislature has announced his retirement.
And the American Hockey League gets its first out gay male player.
you can not hold your breath till they get the first female one. Former Mormon bishop has been indicted for molesting male patients during conversion therapy.
Pulitzer Prize winning gay composer David Del Tredici has died.
Tredici.
Well, we'll have video from him as well. He was quite a character.
Very much so. Putin is cracking down even more brutally on LGBTQ Russians.
Really awful. Thailand is really headed for marriage equality now.
Well, we can hope so. Nepal's having a little wrinkle in their procedures. The Pope sat down for lunch with transgender women and a lot of other people.
And we'll review Coleman Domingo as Bayard Rustin on Netflix, as well as the Broadway revival of Spamalot.
Can't wait to hear what you have to say about that.
Okay. So, maybe we should start with that top news from the Supreme Court. It was a 6-3 decision declining DeSantis's emergency request to let them enforce their anti-drag law. Justices Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch would have granted a stay. So there were three conservatives, Barrett, Roberts, and Kavanaugh, who joined the liberals, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Jackson. Now, you know, they're not ruling totally on the substance of the thing, but it's a victory.
This is a law that Florida passed that forbade adult entertainment for minors. And they include in the definition of adult entertainment drag performances, either explicitly or implicitly. Well, a federal court, when this was challenged by the Hamburger Mary's restaurant, which has regular drag shows, the federal court said, no, you can't let this law go into effect while we're arguing over it. It's too harmful, and you're just going to have to keep it on hold. So the state of Florida went to the Supreme Court and said, oh, no, we can't keep it on hold. We have to let it go into effect while this law is being challenged in court. And what the Supreme Court said was, no, we're not going to let you put the law into effect while this works its way through the courts.
Right. Okay, let's stay in Washington, our nation's capital. But we've told you about lots of past statements, frightening statements, and actions that have been dug up on Christian fascist Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. But just 3 weeks before his recent ascension to the Speaker's chair, he joined a prayer call where we're going to show you, this is on Jim Garlow's show, what he had to say.
Do you have time to answer the question, and say any more about the issue of this could be a time of judgment for America?
Well, I mean, I'd say I'd preach to the choir on this Zoom call, or maybe the honor choir. You all know the terrible state that we're in. faith in our institutions is as low as it's ever been in the history of our nation. The culture is so dark and depraved that it almost seems irredeemable at this point. The church attendance in America dropped below 50% for the first time in our history since they began to measure the data 60 years ago. And the number of people who do not believe in absolute truth is now above the majority for the first time. So 1 in 3 teen girls contemplated suicide last year. 1 in 4 high school students identifies as something other than straight. We're losing the country.
Losing the country.
We're losing the country. He also said, we need a supernatural intervention from the God of the universe. Yikes. And how about just doing your job there, Mike? But of course, he calls us, irredeemable and perverted and all this kind of stuff. He goes down and meets with Donald Trump, who he used to feel that way about.
Yeah, in 2015, when Trump was first running for president, Johnson was quite outspoken about how depraved Trump was. And now that he's ascended to House Speaker, he sees the necessity of bending his knee to Trump. So he went right down to Mar-a-Lago. He also released the 60,000 or whatever it is hours of video from the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol that threw them out into the public. And therefore, all the MAGA Republicans are dragging out bits and pieces and, manufactured versions of it to show what a peaceful and, non-threatening thing it was. And also trying to claim that there were FBI agents in disguise provoking what violence there was. But it's all lies. There's one guy they picked out and said, this is an FBI agent. And no, he isn't.
We also learned that in 2004, Mike Johnson wrote, homosexual marriage is the dark harbinger of chaos and sexual anarchy that could doom even the strongest republic. I can think of much better examples of sexual anarchy than same-sex marriage. And of course, what's really tearing the country apart is lack of gun control, not lack of universal health insurance and child care and things like that. Now, new polling from Data for Progress says that the GOP push to reverse LGBTQ rights is unpopular. A majority oppose federal legislation to ban public schools and libraries and hospitals from having LGBTQ programs, et cetera. So they're losing it narrowly, but they're losing on these things.
They are, and it is why I am hopeful. And the election results, the midterms, local elections all bear that out. So we have to keep ringing the bell and hang in there for another year to 2024.
And of course, whenever reporters ask him about some of this past stuff, like, reinstituting the sodomy laws, et cetera, his office says the speaker views the cases as settled law, which is what all the right wing Supreme Court justices said in their confirmation hearings, because it's settled until it's unsettled by the Supreme Court. So it's such a dodge. They never follow up.
No one ever follows up and no one holds them accountable. And less than until we get better results at voting booths, which are all gerrymandered. So that's difficult, too.
And why hasn't that video that we just showed been shown all over the evening news about what kind of a crackpot this guy is?
I have seen it before, but I can't swear whether I've seen it just online or on broadcast. And meanwhile, the House has added anti-LGBTQ amendments to 12 appropriations bills, which I think is all or just about all of them. So far, we think that they will be fixed before they go to Biden's desk. But there's no guarantee of that. And again, we must remain vigilant. And this is Marjorie Taylor Greene just adding whatever she wants to these bills and the entire Republican caucus going along with her and voting for these.
It's terrible. I don't know what kind of an amendment they'll attach to the expulsion motion for George Santos. Of course, the damning ethics report came out.
Just a bye-bye, George. Bye-bye.
Well, as of yesterday, 60 Republicans said that they're going to vote for it to expel him. And I assume there'll be more. They need two-thirds of the House. So they need all the Democrats and a bunch of the Republicans.
Right.
You've read the reports. Those have been publicized. And of course, one of the things they talk about, look at the things he purchased. We have a picture of this. OnlyFans, things from Hermes and Sephora. He had very expensive tastes. So much for being a man of the people. He's absolutely shameless. And the biggest disgrace to gay people in Washington since Roy Cohn.
Well, shameless. He solicited funds for his campaign. He took that money out of those places, those campaign fund places, and just spent it all on himself. No, there was nothing hidden about it. Well, I mean, it was hidden. He didn't report it, but there was no maneuvering with this. He just took all that money for his own personal use.
So when he's expelled, Governor Hochul will call a special election within 70 days, and the favorite is Democratic former Representative Tom Suozzi, who gave up his seat to run for governor, unsuccessfully, obviously, though redistricting made that Long Island district more Republican, and then it may get redistricted again before the November election. Bowen Yang, by the way, did George Santos on Saturday Night Live and talked about how he invented being gay. We will link to that in our email. I don't usually promote things on Saturday Night Live. I thought that was pretty funny. Republicans, of course, are scandalized that he spent money on OnlyFans, but they prefer to pleasure themselves watching Fox News.
Oh, Andy. Rise and Resist went after Fox News at their Christmas tree lighting this week. And they positioned themselves, as we have learned to do over the years. I'm sorry, I didn't block the sun today. I thought the clouds were going to block it. They positioned themselves between the cameras and the tree so that they would be in the shot and chanting. I had it here. Fox lies, democracy dies. Succinct.
Jimmy Kimmel's show, drag queen Trixie Mattel did a story hour with a class of kids and read Ted Cruz's Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America. Kids were stupefied. She handed out copies of the book and the kids all threw them in the trash.
They may have been prompted to do that. That sounds like something.
Oh, she said, you know, it was, well, she did make up one of the quotes from the book, but it was pretty funny.
Good. I'm glad.
All right. And speaking of banning books in Collier County, Florida, the school district banned 300 books from its school libraries under the Don't Say Gay law, going after any book that depicts or describes sexual contact. And so in addition to the usual purge of LGBTQ books, they went after Leo Tolstoy's Anna Karenina, Blessings by Anna
Karenina. Very, very violent at the end.
Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, Carrie by Stephen King, Catch-22 by Joseph Heller. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. What book doesn't have some reference? I mean, we read these books in high school.
Exactly. No, they don't want anything that has any level of sophistication to it. They want everybody to read Dick and Jane Go Up the Hill and Fetch a Pail of Water or whatever. That's Jack and Jill, but Dick and Jane had other adventures. That's really all they want. They're anti-intellectual. They don't want any kind of education. Now, Sarah Huckabee Sanders in Arkansas has just appointed to the State Library Board, a complete LGBTQ hater whose mission in life is to do exactly this, get rid of all these books in all school libraries, defund any educational institution that allows any of these. She's on the warpath.
His name is Jason Rapert, R-A-P-E-R-T, and he says the Democratic Party is behind the radical LGBTQ insanity, attacking our children through public libraries and activist teachers that are pushing homosexual pornography on minor children. Phew! But there's more. He denounced the LGBT movement as a devil of hell, as opposed to him, who's a devil in Arkansas.
Well, we're at a point in time where these people who used to be dismissed easily now have positions of power. And so we have to conduct real fights against them. Moms for Liberty is exercising a lot of power, although they got into trouble this week because one of their Philadelphia leaders is a pastor, not a mom, a guy who was revealed to have some sexual crimes on his record. And 1 million moms, which tried to stop the Thanksgiving Day parade here in New York City, has failed miserably because no one cares about them and knows 1 million moms is really about 10 people.
That's the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. And now Stephen Miller, who was Goebbels to Trump, is suing them at the EEOC for discrimination against straight white men in hiring.
Well, meanwhile, everyone's going out to the parade to watch Cher perform in front of Macy's at the end of the parade.
Yes, and let's give them some more good news. GLSEN has created the Rainbow Library to provide LGBTQ-affirming text to over 46,000 students in Florida, K through 12. There's some of the kids who were involved and some of the teachers. It goes to 58% from low-income families. It serves schools across 31 states around the country. So go to rainbowlibrary.org to find out how to get them for your school.
Nice. A couple, and you may have to if you're in Kansas or Lynchburg, Virginia. In Lynchburg, Virginia, the school board rejected a $10,000 grant from the It Gets Better Foundation that Dan Savage created some years ago. The foundation was giving out $10,000 grants to various projects around the country. And this one was for a quiet room under the auspices of the GSA at the school. And the board said, the school board said, we're not doing business with those freaks and depraved creeps. We're rejecting that $10,000 grant. But they got a lot of blowback, and they finally decided that they, the school board, would pay for the quiet room themselves. So,
Speaking of shamelessness, we keep telling you about the Central Buck School District in Pennsylvania, where the right-wing board was just voted out. So the lame duck board just voted a $315,000 severance to their right-wing superintendent, plus another $350,000 in other benefits. Democrats are getting ready to sue over this.
They're shameless. This is the word of the decade: shameless, 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 and relentless. They just will not quit.
They wasted $1 million fighting a lawsuit against them for all their bigotry.
Look, in Ohio, the right wing is trying to overcome the recent vote for abortion rights, for reproductive freedom. They are looking for ways to screw around with the courts in Ohio so that they can circumvent the people's vote to enshrine reproductive rights. They do not give up. They will go to the ends of the earth to impose their restrictive values, if you want to even call them values, on everybody else.
Well, it's all going to look mild if Trump gets his way in terms of who he wants for attorney general. A former RNC spokesperson named Mike Davis, who's being pushed by Steve Bannon, who has made repeated threats to send journalists to the D.C. gulag, particularly when after Mehdi Hassan of MSNBC, who he would also denaturalize and deport. He says he'll put Hassan and never-Trumper Republican Tim Miller, who is out gay, in the women's cell block so these whiny leftists don't get beat up as much. He's also he's a former Gorsuch law clerk. He also said he's going to deport 10 million people, including anchor babies, put kids in cages. It's going to be glorious, he said. I'm hearing that Trump is considering Tucker Carlson as his running mate. Brace yourself.
This is the kind of stuff that they throw out there just to keep people interested and on their side. I suppose it could happen, but I think it's highly unlikely. You heard it here. Hold me accountable. In St. Mary's, Kansas, the library board there is very right-wing religious, and they have removed any kinds of kids' books that have the faintest whiff of LGBTQ-ness. And the library had to agree to this to get a 1-year lease renewal from these from the very religious city commissioners. The librarian was very ashamed of this and said, "I'm not proud of having done this, and I did it only so we could get the lease renewal." I would suggest they think about whether the lease renewal is really worth that kind of capitulation.
Absolutely. In political news, Arizona Republicans are spending heavily to tear down a Democratic candidate for Senate next year, Ruben Gallego, in his bid for the Senate. But also they're spending money boosting independent bisexual Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who's nowhere in the polls, because, in order to help Carrie Lake, the Republican, get elected. Lake still thinks she was elected governor. Sinema's money is now all coming from Republican mega donors, and she's pleased that she thwarts many Democratic bills in the Senate with her teammate, Joe Manchin.
I don't think that's going to hurt Gallego. I don't think the Democratic voters are going to fall for that. I think they're only going to have contempt for Sinema, and I think this will help Gallego.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. All right. Other, well, let's a moment of political good news. President Biden stood up for trans people on the Transgender Day of Remembrance this week on Monday, condemning violence, noting the many murders over the last few years, and speaking quite eloquently in support of transgender people.
Okay, also in political news, our friend, out gay Danny O'Donnell of the west side of Manhattan, was the first out gay man elected to the New York State Assembly in 2002. Deborah Glick, an out lesbian, was elected in 1990 or 91, I think it was. He's announced he's retiring. He was a leader of the state's anti-bullying bills in the schools and the Marriage Equality Act from 2007 to 2011 when it passed. His personal lobbying as someone with a longtime committed relationship, John Banta, made a decisive difference. He also passed the Gender Recognition Act, so the state IDs reflected gender identity. Danny says he's filled with optimism for the future. I wish I were too. thank you for your service, Assembly Member.
I think getting out of the New York State Legislature would really be a reason to fill you with optimism. But he was also a great public defender lawyer before he went to the legislature. And I thank him for his defense of me and others in ACT UP before he got into full-time politics, and he's done a great job there. So we'll miss him and just hope that he is succeeded by someone with an equal commitment to that work.
Okay. Hockey news?
Sure, hockey news. So we've been following Luke Prokop because he came out as the first openly gay hockey player in professional hockey. He was in the sort of double A league below the two steps below the NHL. He got a lot of support when he came out. He was surprised himself at how much support he got in the midst of the NHL sort of screwing up their pride nights and forbidding use of rainbow symbols. But now he has been, I don't know if he's been promoted permanently or just given a sort of tryout with the AAA team. The Milwaukee Admirals, but he had a very successful first game with the Milwaukee team in the AHL, the American Hockey League, which is the rung just below the NHL. But he, again, is getting huge support from fans and colleagues, teammates, coaches, everybody. So congratulations.
Oh, when he came out in 2021, he was immediately congratulated by Toronto Maple Leaf superstar Austin Matthews and by Elton John. But currently, there are no publicly out gay men in any of the major North American sports leagues.
Yeah, not in the major leagues. There are some in, you know, minor league baseball, I think, and in college football and things like that. They're moving on up. We will see more of them in the bigs, as they say, in the show in the next few years. And meanwhile, you remember Sha'Carri Richardson, the great track star, who came out as bisexual. And wow, look at her there. She was kept out of the Olympics a few years ago because she tested positive for marijuana, as if that were a performance enhancing drug. But she overcame that, came back, and has been a big winner. And now her home high school in Dallas, the Carter High School, has named its track after her, which I think is a great honor.
Is that allowed under Texas law?
Excellent question, but it happened. And congratulations to Sha'Carri. Congratulations for her coming back and triumphing over the attempts to get rid of her a few years ago.
And what's not allowed under law anywhere is molesting your patients. A one-time Mormon bishop, Scottsdale Owen, 64 years old, was charged Monday with 4 counts of forcible sodomy and 6 counts of object rape against his conversion therapy clients. He was using his position as a therapist to coerce his victims and engaging in kissing, cuddling, sexual touching during their sessions between 2010 and 2017. In at least one case, he was the victim's ecclesiastical leader. And Owens told the man that his treatment would bring him closer to God. He was reprimanded in 2016 by the Utah Division of Professional Licensing, but they didn't force him out until 2018. The Mormon Church covered up the abuse. Shame on them.
Twas ever thus. And as long as we're on religion news, let's talk a little about the Methodists. We've been tracking the split in the United Methodist Church. And in Georgia, the latest locus of that, there are 700 congregations, United Methodist congregations in the Northern Georgia Conference of United Methodists. And 261 of them have disaffiliated with the conference. That 1/4 of the U.S.'s 30,000 Methodist congregations have disaffiliated.
Again, I don't think that's so bad, and I think it creates more peace within the different, you know, strains of the religion. And you do your thing, we'll do ours. We may have to do that with the whole country.
Here's something strange I don't quite understand. They've been doing this since the Methodist Church reinforced its anti-LGBTQ laws against out pastors or same-sex weddings. And sorry.
Have a drink.
Did they just see the writing on the wall that's going to change soon or what?
I am the co-host of Gay USA, but I can't help you out. We'll look it up and we'll get back to you.
Well, the implication is that these are all conservative congregations that have disaffiliated.
I think it's because they were making advances on our policies, and that's why they wanted to leave.
And I think the thinking is that at the next convention or whatever it is, conference, they may change some of those rules. So
I'll find out from my sister-in-law this weekend. She's a Methodist church, one of the more liberal ones. In Orlando, the One Pulse Foundation, which was formed to help out the survivors of the Pulse Massacre in 2016 and build a memorial, has just been dissolved. They kind of, you know, they spent millions of dollars planning something at a site. They missed this charges that they misused the site for other purposes, all these kinds of things. Anyway, as of this week, they have dissolved. They were giving out scholarships and things like that. Now, finally, the city of Orlando or the county, they've got the site of the Pulse, where the Pulse is. And my advice is just grasp the thing over and make it a place of quiet contemplation. I said the same thing about the World Trade Center.
Oh, my favorite suggestion for the World Trade Center site was grass it over and put some cows down there to graze.
That would be nice.
I mean, a headstone, a plaque, fine, but
it's a crime scene. I mean, of course we want to remember. I lost friends in the World Trade Center. Of course we want to remember them. But with these ridiculous, well, I mean, some of you may be moved by it, but it's just, anyway. Okay.
Well, you know me, just throw me in a dumpster somewhere. Let's not take up precious land.
Right. All right. You want to tell us about Ashlyn Harris and Allie Krieger?
Yes. We have been, Ashlyn Harris and Allie Krieger were, there they are, Ashlyn Harris on the left, Allie Krieger on the right. You've heard about Allie Krieger recently because with Megan Rapinoe, they just retired from their illustrious soccer careers. And a couple of years ago, we were celebrating the marriage of Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris, and they have recently announced that they are divorcing. Well, Ashlyn Harris has just written a scathing public letter about the cyberbullying she has suffered since the announcement of this divorce. I don't know why people should get upset. I guess there are some people think that she was dating someone else and cheating on Allie and, you know, get a life, people. What do you care? But it's evidently been quite vicious, the bullying she has received online, at least, and maybe in person. She is now dating someone else, but Sophia Bush, but that's all out in the open. They have a couple of young kids, but they'll figure that out. And it's just horrible that they're suffering this kind of abuse.
Everybody's a critic, and online people mostly want to post negative comments. Okay. Let's talk about some of the people that we've lost. Out Pulitzer Prize-winning composer David Del
Tredici
has died in Greenwich Village at 86. Known for his obsession with Alice in Wonderland, he also did some prominent gay-themed works, including Gay Life and Wondrous the Merge, about a student falling in love with a 60-year-old professor that got censored in its premiere in Michigan.
I saw one of the Alice works many years ago at the theater at St. Clements. Did you ever go there for the music theater group productions? I saw an early Julie Taymor work there long before The Lion King, Martha Clark, The Garden of Earthly Delights, and a David Del Tredici Alice work. They were all magnificent. I really miss those off-Broadway thoughtful, interesting, challenging productions, beautiful productions. And so that's where I first encountered David Del Tredici, and he really was brilliant.
Well, his most recent work was called Bully Side, about gay teen suicide. And he said as a kid, he started to play the piano to get out of playing baseball with the bad boys who teased me. Now, we do have a clip from him from a 2010 interview. Let's run that.
I've written music for a long time, and my early stage was revolved around a lot around James Joyce, and I went into Lewis Carroll, and then through a series of things, I had personal crashes in my life. I became an alcoholic. I got into recovery, and in the recovery part of my life, and did a lot of therapy, I wanted to celebrate being gay. And there is not much in classical music, very little music celebrates any sexuality, let alone gay. Everything is vaguely erotic, but never explicitly sexual or pornographic or dirty. There's no such thing in classical music. So, as is my way often, write a piece, I have to be inspired by a text. And so when I wanted to do this, celebrate being gay, I mean, who else would be better a poet than James Broughton? So I remembered the experience at Body Electric and found the poem and began to set it. What I love about the poem is that it is a story of a older gay man coming out. It's not my story, but it's just so touching and so also unexpected. It's not the way you normally come out. A young man doesn't seduce an old professor. It's always the other way around, and it just appealed to me. And also the quirkiness of the language and the sexiness of it. The directness, that very much fell in line with the kind of turn I wanted to take in my own writing to create a a body of gay-oriented music that couldn't. There it sits, whether you like it or not. There, this will now exist from where there was nothing.
That's James Brown, Brougham, and I read the poem. It's quite wonderful.
And when he and we'll link to his entire interview. When he tries to read the poem himself, he gets too choked up to go on. He had five partners in his life, including Paul R. Comano, who died of AIDS in 1993. He taught composition at Harvard, including to John Adams, and also at Boston University and City College of New York.
And you can see by the fact that he was interviewed decked out in his leather gear that he didn't much care what anybody thought of the way he lived his life.
Right. You all heard that we lost former First Lady Rosalynn Carter at 96. Besides being the stalwart partner of Jimmy Carter in life and politics and humanitarian work, mental health was her big focus, and she founded the Rosalynn Carter Institute for Caregivers in 1987, that in 2021 marked Pride Month by establishing a partnership with the Modern Military Association of America to better support LGBTQ military caregivers.
Yeah, and she got in so much trouble for trying to be an equal partner to Jimmy in the administration. I would say my strongest memory of her is her being attacked for sitting in on cabinet meetings. That was just vicious. Although I'm not sure I want First Lady sitting in on cabinet meetings. Maybe she could have found another way to do it, but it was a really awful attack.
She was his closest advisor in life and in politics also, in terms of getting him elected and keeping him in there.
Yes. All right. And also lost in the last week or so, two young trans and non-binary people in Toledo, Ohio. Amiri Jean Reed, a trans woman on the left, and Kaywan Richardson, 21, gay, gender nonconforming on the right, in a car together, shot dead. No one arrested for this yet, but they're tragic.
438 cases of anti-trans killings around the world. 37 and 38. These were 37 and 38 in the United States, and the total was 40 last year.
HRC, on the occasion of the Trans Day of Remembrance, put out an extensive report on violence against transgender people, and we will link to that report in our show note, which you can get by going to our website, gayusatv.org, and clicking on the subscribe to us button. You'll get one email a week, and it will include extras like that.
And we should say, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, we're grateful to you. And if you go to our site, that's the place you can figure out where to donate to us to keep us going for yet another year.
Yeah, we would definitely appreciate that.
Oh, and speaking of obituaries, the Eighth Circuit buried the Voting Rights Act this week. It was an outrageous decision where they said, "Oh no, civil rights groups can't sue under the Voting Rights Act. It has to be just the Attorney General of the United States. That's it." Even though civil rights groups have been suing for 50 years under this act, and been heard by the Supreme Court.
Well, that's their theme this year. Get rid of things that have been in place for 50 years.
Right.
All right. International news.
Well, Russia must really be losing the war. Actually, I read something that Putin wants peace talks, to distract the masses. The Justice Ministry in Russia is asking the Supreme Court to recognize the international LGBT movement as extremist and to ban its activity in Russia. The crackdowns on all things LGBT has accelerated since the start of the war. There's a hearing on this scheduled for November 30th. Russian gay activist Dilya Gafarova of Sphere, which is their group, and she doesn't live there. Russian authorities are once again forgetting that the LGBTQ community are human beings.
Well, actually, there was also a news note that Putin made some speech this week that said we are human beings. It was some weird, out of speaking kind of statement. But the Justice Ministry wants the power to arrest and prosecute people for being LGBTQ, just straight out. We'll see how far they get with that. They've already banned, you know, gender change, medically or administratively. So they're on the move. And meanwhile, a lesbian activist, an artist and musician in Russia, Sasha Skochilenko, has been sentenced to 7 years in prison. She staged a little anti-war protest. She went into a market and exchanged price tags for little anti-war statements on seven items. She will now do 7 years in prison.
Well, Emma Thompson and Brendan Gleeson played a German couple who'd lost a son in World War II, and they started putting postcards around town in Berlin against the Nazis. And they did it surreptitiously, and they got caught. And, of course, they were executed.
Well, Sasha is not supposed to be executed, but 7 years in a Russian prison is no vacation either. All right, so Argentina has now elected this Trumpian right-winger Javier Milei to be the president. Like Trump, he has no political experience and is an entertainer and I don't know.
His nickname is El Loco. And he's a big fan of Bolsonaro in Brazil and Trump.
Yeah,
abortion.
And Tucker Carlson is a big supporter of his, and Elon Musk.
Yeah, he calls the Pope the incarnation of communism. He denies climate change. You know, he has made past statements that say, "Oh, I don't have a problem with same-sex marriage and the legalization of drugs and the right to choose your gender." But during the campaign, his spokespersons were making anti-gay, anti-LGBTQ statements.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on any of that. And I've been corresponding with a gay activist in Buenos Aires who is not optimistic about this and says they're already out in the streets protesting him before he's even taken office. The problem, here's the deal. We freak out when we have 7% inflation in this country.
Right.
Argentina has 185% inflation, and they are desperate to get out of this situation. It's been going on for years. So when it was a choice between this guy and a sort of center leftist who seemed unwilling to do anything drastic, they chose this guy because he promises drastic action.
Including the chainsaw.
Yes, he did campaign with a chainsaw, but he's promising things like getting rid of the peso and making the U.S. dollar the currency of Argentina, which does seem a little loco, and destroying the central bank and getting rid of, I don't know, there's a whole long list. But no one's expecting anything but chaos in Argentina at this point.
Better news from Thailand, where the cabinet approved an amendment to the civil code to allow same-sex marriage. So it goes to the parliament next month. Thailand will be the third place in Asia to have marriage equality after Taiwan and Nepal. Oh, and in the United Kingdom, the High Court struck down shipping asylum seekers to Rwanda as being unsafe, especially for LGBTQ asylum seekers.
There is a little wrinkle on the Nepal marriage front. The court ordered it, but now the authorities are saying they don't necessarily want to follow the court and they want it legalized in the parliament. We'll see how that goes. The Vatican.
Well, Pope Francis had lunch with 100 poor and homeless guests on November
9th. 1,200 poor and homeless.
All right. It was World Day of the Poor. And seated at his table were a former sex worker, Claudia Vittoria Salas, and trans woman, who are Latin American immigrants. Consuelo, a Colombian trans woman who was invited monthly to the Pope's audiences in Rome, said, "Before the church was closed to us, they didn't see us as normal people. They saw us as the devil." They dined on Catalonian meatballs with tiramisu for dessert because he wanted to treat them like rich people.
It looks quite, and the flowers are lovely. There's a publication, I guess, called Family Process that conducted a study in Europe of gay fathers, couples with kids from surrogates versus straight parents, and compared their parenting, straight parents who had their kids biologically, the kids 1 to 10 years old. And as we have found over the years in many other studies, the kids of the gay fathers are happier, better adjusted, more successful, and the dads are more likely to engage in equal parenting than the straight parents. Thank you once again.
Okay.
AIDS news.
Well, for the first time, the FDA has approved home testing kits for gonorrhea and chlamydia. It's called the Simple 2 test, $99 at your pharmacy and results in 2 to 5 days, or save money and go to the local clinic. We've had home HIV tests for some time now and, of course, home COVID tests, but this is the first time for other STIs.
And speaking of Argentina, they've been doing a study in Buenos Aires neighborhoods of HIV prevalence. They found that 30% of HIV positive people they found didn't know they were HIV positive, which proves my theory that more people don't know than we admit. 80% of infections are in stable couples, which implies extramarital sex, not using protection. So they are instituting a heavier education campaign. It's a little bleak there. And I was interested in this map that was published by something called AIDSVU, A-I-D-S-V-U, of HIV prevalence in the United States as of 2021. You know, we talk about it being more prevalent in communities of color, in poorer communities, in the South, and here is the visual evidence. And it just made me enormously sad to see these bands of heavy prevalence, particularly in the Southeast, South and Southeast, moving up the coast to the Northeast. These are tragic stories of people who continue to get infected, and the U.S. is just not doing enough about it to educate people, to give them prevention tools. And
Ron DeSantis saying you can't talk about gay stuff. How can you do AIDS education without that?
Well, we found that out 40 years ago. Right. And
the United Kingdom is recommending a vaccine to prevent gonorrhea, but it's the meningitis B vaccine that also works on gonorrhea, only to the extent of 34%, but they think that will make a big impact on the current epidemic.
And there's a new report out from the United Nations, Georgetown Law School, and the Global Network of People Living with HIV. The report is called Progress and the Peril, HIV and the Global Decriminalization of Same-Sex Sex. And it found that now two-thirds of countries in the world have decriminalized same-sex sex. And a lot of that is because of the AIDS movement, because it has provoked countries to examine their laws and realize that unless they decriminalize homosexuality, they're not going to get a handle on the AIDS epidemic. It's an interesting report, and we will link to it in our show note.
Okay. Entertainment news.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about the Rustin film. I speak as someone who worked with Byron Rustin back in 1986 and 85 and 86 and 87, the great civil rights leader. He was a mentor to Dr. King on nonviolent resistance and a lead organizer of the 63 March for Jobs and Freedom. Starring out Coleman Domingo. We have a picture of Coleman next to a picture of Byard at the march. It's directed by George C. Wolfe, who's also out gay. Coleman is out gay. It puts Byard's homosexuality front and center, gets him booted from the movement in 1960, and then he's brought back to run the march in Washington in 63, and he's attacked over it by everyone from Strom Thurmond, the crazy right-wing senator, to Harlem Congressman Adam Clayton Powell Jr., played by Jeffrey Wright. The film shows infighting in the movement, especially resistance from Roy Wilkins of the NAACP, played by Chris Rock. It shows Byard with his boyfriends and on the prowl, and he as our neighbor in Penn South over here in Chelsea. It's produced by the Obamas, and it's really an overdue focus on a very transformative leader in so many ways.
Now, you were struck by the latest episode of Fellow Travelers on Showtime, the Lavender Scare series.
Yes. Well, they focused this week on the purge of gays and lesbians from the federal government in the McCarthy era, highlighting the homosexuality of McCarthy and his top aide, Roy Cohn. But Matt Bomer, we got a picture of him there, is a closeted State Department employee, and he makes himself, so he's got, they're all forced to take these
lie detector tests,
and they show how he prepared for it, and he prepared for it by focusing on a picture of Mamie Eisenhower so that it would make his libido go down. It's how he got through this thing. Now, the real sad truth is that they purged so hundreds, thousands of people. And when Bomer says, you know, some of these people are committing suicide, the guy doing the test goes, yeah, we get about one a week. We get about one a week, and with absolutely no shame about it. This show jumps around. They're now dealing with Jonathan Bailey, who plays his lover, now having AIDS in 1986 also, and trying to get Matt Bomer to help him do something about it with the government.
Yeah, it jumps around in time. I still find it not quite as deep as I want it to be, but there's a lot there, and certainly I'd recommend the series.
And a couple of weeks ago in The Gilded Age, they introduced Oscar Wilde as a character, but not half as clever as the real thing, as he opens a play in New York.
And that was very forced.
It's nice to see that the character played by out Cynthia Nixon is getting a love interest, the Reverend played by Robert Sean Leonard. But Christine Baranski's character will try to stop it.
Try. I think she's going to run a truck over her. But I'm enjoying The Gilded Age, and I'm particularly enjoying Carrie Coon as the part of the rich couple and her wardrobe. Man, that's something.
And her opera wars.
Oh, yeah, just great. So coming to Stars shortly is a new series called Mary and George, 7 episodes. Julianne Moore there on the left and a young thing on the right.
Nicholas Galitzine, who was in Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Yeah.
He plays a honeypot dangled in front of the bisexual King James I. It all looks very gay and hot, and we will link to the trailer in our email.
And he does get together with King James, evidently. It's just gay male sex.
Wait a minute, this stuff all happened. That's all true.
Well, where's the full frontal nudity, Andy? There's none of that in Fellow Travelers. Come on, admit it. Not yet, anyway.
No, well, they're not going to do that, I don't think. Not with big stars.
Okay.
All right.
So what'd you think of Spamalot?
It's the second revival of the 2005 musical based on the 1975 film Monty Python on the Holy Grail. It's at the St. James Theater. It's great, silly fun, while indulging in stereotypes about just about everybody. But we have a picture of the cast. On the left there is Michael Urie, who's out, as Sir Robin. And, of course, the King Arthur with the crown there is James Monroe Eagleheart. The Lady of the Lake hit those high notes, but the whole ensemble is doing very good work, and it's directed and choreographed by Josh Rhodes. They're booking it until April 28th. There's some pointed political jokes, most notably an appearance by George Santos, his name at least.
Well, they're just trying to update it a little to look current rather than a stale revival.
Hey, and I see GLAAD is going to get an Emmy Award. Did you read this?
No, for what?
There, at the, they're going to get the Governor's Award at the 75th Primetime Emmys for its culture-changing impact on January 15th on the telecast on Fox, cited for their work advocating for fair and accurate LGBTQ representation in the media. GLAAD was formed mostly by grassroots group of activists. Our Chris Cooper was on the board early on. It was a grassroots group at the start. Their first demo, we shook dirty rags at the Dirty Rag, the New York Post, for their sensationalistic AIDS coverage.
It'd be nice if they recreated some of that at the Emmys. I won't hold my breath.
Yeah.
You might want to take a look on Netflix at a short 10-minute film called The Dads. It's produced by Dwayne Wade, the basketball star and father of a trans child.
Uh-huh.
And it's about six dads of trans kids out on a fishing trip. Matthew Shepard's father is also on it. And it's just a thoughtful conversation between six men talking about their trans kids and talking about masculinity and all of that. You also may, I was happy to see that at the National Book Awards, there were two big wins for gay books. The final award of the night, as I quote the New York Times, Justin Torres received the fiction prize for Blackouts, his widely acclaimed genre-defying novel about erasure and queer history. And so that is one of the big books of the year, Blackouts. And the award for translated literature went to The Words That Remain by Stenio Gardel, translated from the Portuguese. It centers on an old man who reflects on his clandestine teenage romance with his best friend. And also at the awards, Oprah Winfrey got up and gave a speech about the horror of banning books, whether with racial themes or LGBTQ themes, and said censorship is driving polarization and dividing communities. Well, yes, it is. And on a happier note, in our last few seconds,
we have 50 seconds.
Tammy Faye, a musical about Tammy Faye Baker, is coming to Broadway, probably not for about a year, from London, where it was described as being spectacularly entertaining.
Andrew Rannells did it.
Yes, and they're wondering whether he will be doing it again here. No word on that yet. It's written by Elton John and Jake Shears, the music is.
Wow.
You didn't see it in London?
No, it was no, I wasn't there then.
Oh, too bad. And it's probably not there now anymore?
Oh, no, it was at the Almeida, small theater.
Okay. Well, if the rest of you want to see it, plan your trips to New York for a year from now, but plan to be back here next week to join us.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.